At this time, though, it's time for our message. And like I said, on Thursday night, we had our Lord's Supper. And by the way, it was wonderful. It was a wonderful experience to be with everybody and to take it in such a way. It really felt like intimate time to gather around together to remember our Lord's death and what he did for us. But today we celebrate his resurrection. He didn't stay in the grave. And that's the joy of Easter, the joy of being in Christ, a Christian. I mentioned, though, on Thursday night that I had a surprise for you. And praise the Lord, one of the benefits for being able to do this kind of thing is to be able to have someone share. And so I've actually asked my dad, the founding pastor of International Baptist Church, to share with us a message this morning, all the way from Burleson, Texas. So let's welcome Pastor John Young to our virtual pulpit to share with us the message. Dad, are you there?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, thank you. Welcome.
Okay. I don't know what I did. Okay. But now we seem to be stuck again.
Ken?
We can hear you. We can hear you. Go ahead and preach. I don't see you, but I can hear you.
Okay. Well, it's good to see you. It's good to hear from IBC. And we do trust that God is continuing to bless and meet all of your needs. We have with us a couple of friends. They're sitting over here on the side, and our system isn't so mobile, but with us this evening or this morning is Joe and his wife, Angela. They just live across the street from us. We're so happy to have them. My wife is here beside me, and she would like to say hello to the folks there. And I'll give her a minute.
Hi, everybody. I'm so glad to be able to touch base with you again. We miss you all so much. We love you. And we just wanted to say hi. Happy Easter. I started to say Merry Christmas.
Oh, well, that's looking better now. Okay. Are you hearing me okay? All right. Well, I assume you are. Well, no, we're good. Okay. Perilous times. As you can see from this terrible virus that is hitting everybody, this is a global situation. It's not just local. It's hitting everybody. And it's hit the United States pretty hard in some areas. Fortunately, here in Texas, we haven't been hit too very difficult. So we're rejoicing in that. But do pray for our country and pray for the many other countries. It's good to see that the Prime Minister of England is doing much better now. He's still not 100%, but he is doing so much better, and we trust a good recovery for him. And we have heard that there's one COVID case in New Zealand. And we pray for that one, that they'll recover. We hope there's not more coming on, but very likely there will be. Troubled times. Yeah, you know, God told us that as we come closer to that age when Jesus is going to return and show himself, and show himself strong, show himself powerful, show the world who he actually is. That's coming much closer than we ever thought possible. The Bible tells us that in the latter days, these perilous times will come. Yet we see this virus, it's hard to say. So far, it's looking pretty good. But when you look at the tens of thousands who have died, it's not been so good. So it's easy for us to understand. This is difficult. This is difficult for all of us. Well, perilous times. You know, there's always been difficult times. There've always been times of trials. There have been times of plagues. I would imagine, though we may not have a historical reference to it, that there might have been some of these perils that pretty well covered the earth. But this time we know it. This time we get to see it live and on television in Technicolor and high fidelity sound. So we know what's going on. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in verses 1 through 5, Paul summarizes in this. He says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, having a form of godliness, but denying the power of it. Well, these things are happening. Oh, it's going to get a lot worse. I don't mean this coronavirus. It's working its way through. But there's going to be other situations. There's going to be other things. You know, there's nothing worse than when man turns on man, when groups of people turn on other groups of people within a country. Those are perilous things. Those are terrible, dreadful things. But we know that these things will come. They will come, and the times will become even more difficult. A popular preacher made a statement some time ago. He says, watch half an hour of television news and tell me if the word chaos has, if it comes to mind, chaos. The world is gripped by chaos. Chaos brings fear, and fear brings destruction. It's good to see that it feels like this is under control and this will pass. Our nations are already making plans for the future, making plans for 2 months, 6 months down the road. There'll still be recovery going on, and we trust for the best. But chaos, everywhere you look, we see chaos. Look at the lengths people are going to protect themselves from the coronavirus. I remember when it first came upon us and they started talking about it on television. What was this, 3 weeks ago? Yes. 3 weeks ago. Instantly, all the toilet paper was gone out of this grocery store. You'd go to the next grocery store and there's no toilet paper. That was the first to go. Makes you wonder why. Why? I know it's necessary, but we had a package and it's lasted us pretty good, but it's chaotic and it's just grown worse. It's not grown better. After 3 weeks, I was at the grocery store yesterday and the shelves were empty in the toilet paper, but all the other shelves were open for business and everybody was doing fine. It just didn't seem to be that difficult. But perilous times, conflicts are abounding more and more all the time. Religious, philosophical, political systems collide. When they collide, there's big trouble. I'm looking forward to this coming election just around the corner here in the U.S. There's going to be a big collision. It's going to be rough. The last election, people were dogmatically opposed to one another and were opposed in a philosophical way. We're opposed to a deep-seated and rooted belief system instead of realizing that, I have my ideas, you have your ideas, fine. You know, you live up to your ideals and I'll live up to my ideals, but it's becoming more repressive than that. And people are calling others down on their belief system. And it certainly is a shame. The political process is drifting rudderless on this sea of confusion. It's just breeding more confusion upon confusion. The world really has no concrete standard, a standard of truth in which to judge good and to judge bad. Solutions are scarce. There was a time when we would call good good, we'd call evil evil, but now we're finding folks calling good evil. It's creating massive problems in our world. The suppression of truth exacts a tremendous price. And truth, it's easy to suppress these days. I listened to a broadcast here and on a particular station or a particular time. And a little bit later, I hear diametrically opposed ideas and diametrically opposed views as to what's taking place here. It's becoming problematic. Instead of just realizing that we have differences, let's just work through the differences. The differences that we can't reconcile, okay, we'll just set them aside and we'll move on. Churches are relentlessly assaulted by doctrinal fads, scandals, divisions, internal and external criticism, worldly thinking, and they're buckling under pressure. Religious systems are having a difficult time. I'm from the old school, there was a time when, this group of religious belief held fast to these doctrines. Another one held fast to opposing doctrines, or maybe not opposing, but different. And today they're becoming dogmatic, and they're gathering together around truths that are a little shady as far as truth is concerned. A common question that we can hear people asking is, how can we appeal to the most people? Their aim, their idea is to get this church bigger than where it was last year. Get this church bigger than the church across the street. And the only thing suffering about it, basically, is our belief system. In order to reach more people and get more people into the services and paying tithes, we don't talk about certain doctrines so much. We focus on those things that we can all believe, we all understand to be true. Doctrine has always been important. My doctrine, his doctrine, this person's doctrine. It's always been important to him. And it shouldn't be flagged away so easily and so quickly just in order to fill the pews a little more. So we find that compromise is so easily coming forth in an awful lot of folks today in a lot of different places. Doctrine is compromised. Effectiveness is forfeited. Biblical ministry is being abandoned. And God's blessings being withdrawn. That grieves me. I don't know if it grieves you, but I know it grieves the Lord. It's a difficult situation. It's a bad situation. However, in all of this, The lamp of truth continues to burn brightly amongst the faithful few. This is Easter. Easter is about life. Easter is about new life. New life coming out of old. It's about resurrection. We see the Lord Jesus Christ being resurrected from the dead. In a lot of ways, we see people resurrecting their thought processes, realizing that we've drifted too far to the left or too far to the right, and we've got to return back to a central point once again. The Bible tells us, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. In other words, be a rock. God wants us to be a rock for Christ. We must be steadfast. We must be steadfast in truth, steadfast in our walk with the Lord. Your belief system may not be mine. And if God shows you truth from a different perspective, then study it, check it out, understand it. If it's not truth, reject it. But if it is truth, ask God to show you how to understand it and change your thinking. Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 59 and verse 14, I believe I've got that. Yeah, 59 and verse 14 and 15. Yeah. In verses 14 and 15, Jesus' justice is turned back and the righteousness stands afar off. For truth has fallen in the street and equity cannot enter. So truth fails and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. We must be a rock. We must be steadfast. We must be thoroughly, completely grounded in what it is that we say we believe. If we have trouble with it, study it. Get into it and find out, do you really believe it? Study the Bible, study the Word, because it's God's Word. It's true. God is not the author of confusion. If there's confusion, where does it come from? It's thrown at us from every direction. There are lies, there are deceits. There's all kinds of things trying to attract our attention. This is one of the big difficulties of our time. We have television. We have radio. We've got videos. We've got the internet. We've got so many things that are reaching out for our attention. There's so many adverts out there that are trying to get your attention. They're trying to sell you something. You've got to know who you are and understand that you can't just let people take advantage of you. Justice is turned back. Righteousness stands afar off, for truth is fallen in the street and equity can't enter in. The ungodly asked, as Pilate did, what is truth? What is the truth? Well, we know that God's word is truth. God's word is always true. It's always a rock. In John 17, and in verse 7, he says, now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. I have given them the words which you have given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent for me. I pray for them. I don't pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Oh, we have been given truth, and we must be steadfast in the truth. If we believe it, live it. If you believe it, don't let go of it. Study the word. Study God's word, because there you'll find the truth. And you've got to recognize that God is not here to deceive you. He's not here to play tricks with you. He's not here to play games with you. He wants you to know the truth. Living according to the truth of the word of God is not putting ourselves back under the chain of law once again. That's not what it's about. Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You see, the freedom God's truth brings is precious to him. It ought to be precious to us, but it is precious to Jesus. And if we believe it and we believe him, oh, we need to embrace what he has given to us. We need to embrace it as true and right, and to live by it. Jesus is the truth. Freedom that God's truth brings is precious to him. When we accept truth as something in the eye of the beholder, you know, my truth, it's my truth, it's what I believe, it's my truth. Listen, truth is not something that we pick and choose. It's not like going to the grocery store and say, I like this one, but I don't like that one. And we may not like a lot of things about the truth of God's word, but it's up to us to make adjustments to God, not for God to make adjustments to us. That's not who God is. God is a rock. He is a rock. He doesn't change. That old rock that you see laying on the side of the hill, big and weather-worn, that old rock has been that way for years and will continue to be. God's word is truth. God is a rock. This freedom that God brings is precious to him. Second main point I want to bring is that we're to be steadfast in our witness. We're to be steadfast in truth, but we're to be steadfast in our witness. You know, there's a lot of ways for us to bear witness, with who we are, to bear witness with what we believe. It's not from the words that come out of our mouths, but it's from what emanates from our soul, what emanates from our lives. There isn't anybody that understands this more than children. Children hear us talk about truth. They talk about things that are right, and they know it, but they often don't see us living that way. We got to be steadfast in our witness. We need to be a rock in the truth. Our witness is twofold. Our witness in the word. He says in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. We live in the uttermost parts of the world. In Jesus' day, this was the uttermost part of the world. This was the end. Until I believed that. I grew up believing that. until I got to New Zealand. Then I discovered what the uttermost part of the earth is. You're out there in the ocean, and there's nobody else around you. Your nearest neighbor's 1,200 miles across the ocean to get over to Sydney. God wants us to be steadfast in our witness. Paul declares, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Why isn't he ashamed of it? Because it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes it. Boy, we're not ashamed. And we don't need to be afraid to say so. We allow fear to overwhelm us so much of the time. We see a neighbor, we make a friend, we want to invite him to church. We have a workmate that we've known for years, and God has just kind of tugged at us to tell him about Jesus, but we put it off and we put it off. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the power of God to salvation to all who believe. Why would anyone be ashamed of the gospel? Why would anybody be ashamed of the gospel? We call it the good news. If you had good news, don't you want to share it with whoever will listen to you? If you've really got good news, you're going to want to share it. We had good news. I remember a long time ago, our baby girl, Allison, was born. You couldn't keep my mouth shut. I'd go to work and I'd have this little photo that we got at the hospital and I'd share it with everybody until they got sick of looking at it. But I still shared it with them. Our second daughter was born and had this new photo. And 7 years later, along came our son. Well, we hid the picture. No, we were so proud. You have good news. You want to share the good news. You want to share it with everybody who will listen, everybody who will let you, will sit still long enough for you to share that story. 15 years, when I was 15 years old, I met a young lady. I used to go roller skating. I went roller skating about 3-4 times a week. I took lessons, I was really, really into it. And it was so much of my life. Well, in April, I met a young lady at a skating rink. And man, I tell you what, I was attracted. And I wanted to get to know her. And she wanted to get to know me, but the first thing she did was invited me to church. Now, I wasn't exactly a churchgoer, but she invited me, and so I said, sure, I'll go. And later on, that relationship developed. That was my wife, Janet. I was 15 years old, 15 and a half, and we dated for several years, and we got married, and then the third child was born, and that was our Ken, and we're proud of Ken. We're so proud, and I've always told the story of our kids because I'm proud of them. You know, when something good has taken place, you want to share it with others. Our witness with what Jesus Christ has done in our lives, we need to want to share it. We need to want to be able to tell others that they might hear this good news and enjoy the same Lord and the same Savior that we have come to know. My wife explained this to me. On about our second date, the first thing she did was invited me to Sunday school. Man, Sunday school? I never went to Sunday school in my life. And I never went to Sunday school in my life, but when she invited me, I was pleased to go. And there I heard something that I'd never heard before in my life. Oh, I was raised going to church periodically. I was raised in another denomination. We went to church on Saturday. And I'd never been to a Sunday school before. But I heard some things because somebody shared their witness. Somebody shared their testimony. Somebody shared with me, and it moved my soul. Our witness in life is faithful living. And then thirdly, we are to be steadfast in love. Steadfast in love. Love to God. Love to the world for which Jesus died. We're to be steadfast in love. You know, love is not, it's not just an automatic thing. In fact, many of us go many, many years thinking we love, but over time we discover that we really didn't know what love was. To love somebody means to give yourself over to them. I have known and counseled and worked with so many married people. So many married couples. They've been married, some of them, for many, many years. And I counsel with them, and I discover that they really didn't know what it was to love each other. There was a feeling about the relationship early on that they enjoyed. There was a feeling that they wanted more of. And it kind of reminds us of an awful lot of our love songs and books on these things that we let ourselves be deceived in thinking that this love is that warm, fuzzy thing that I get inside my chest when I'm around this person. This warm, fuzzy feeling. That's really not love. That's nice. And it's very helpful because it draws people together. I get a warm, fuzzy feeling when I eat a real nice, lovely piece of cake. You know, sometimes it just warms me all over and I love it. But that's not what love is. Love is a commitment. Love is giving yourself over to somebody. We're told that we're to be steadfast in love. And that is love to God, love to the world that Jesus died for. We need to reevaluate our understanding and our position as to what love is. When you love somebody, nothing will ever change that. Not circumstance, nothing. I have known godly people that have lost loved ones. They died. They've gone to be with Jesus, and they suffered. Oh, they would suffer. We have a dear friend.
Which one?
She just died in Missouri. I got my wife on a spot, but anyway, Shelly Henderson. She's a sweet, sweet girl. Sweet, sweet girl. And she married an African man. What was his name?
Mama Kula.
Yeah. Brother Mama Kula. She had known him for years. She'd known him for a very long time. And they finally got married a year before God took her home. That man knew that woman for several years, but he loved her. He really loved her. And when God took her away, oh, what a heartbreak. I've never seen a man grieve like Brother Mamakula. He is so broken. He is so hurt. It's been almost a year, a little over a year now. And he's starting to get a little more used to it. But he's still got such a broken heart. Every once in a while, we see him make a comment on Facebook. And his heart is still just broken, broken. Oh, would to God that we would be able to develop that kind of love. First of all, for our spouse, for our own wife, for our children. Yes, we raise our children, not for ourselves. We raise our children so that we can give them to somebody else, so that we can give them to another spouse, somebody that they could love and that would love them. That's what raising children is about. But we love those children. I've got three children, and I love them to death. My daughters belong to their husbands. They don't belong to me. But oh, I still love them, and they love me, and we enjoy this relationship. It's just excellent. And the only way I can really love my daughters is to love their husbands. And I love those men. They're good, godly men. And I'm pleased to give my heart and soul to them. My son married a beautiful girl. And he gave himself to her. She's our daughter now. She's our daughter. And we love her like a daughter. God is so understanding in this relational situation. But we're to love, first of all, the Lord our God. Love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. Do you understand those words? You hear them, but are they penetrating? Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, everything. Give it to God. Because that's what love is, okay? That's what love is. Practice on your wife. That's the best place to practice. Love your wife. And then you can learn what it is to love God. A man asked Jesus. Jesus, he asked, which is the great commandment in the law? Sounds like a deep question. It is a deep question. Out of all of the laws, and you look through the Old Testament, man, oh man, we look at the Ten Commandments and say, yeah, they're the 10 big ones. Yeah, but there's about 5,000 little ones. They're just as important as the 10 big ones. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. You know, that just about covers the entirety of your being. The entirety of your being. Love God with everything. Love God. Learn to love God. I was madly in love with my wife, Janet, when I first met her. Okay? But then I discovered within a couple of weeks, what I felt is that terrific love was really not very big at all. And I loved her more. And then 2 years later, I discovered the same thing. You see, love has no limits. It has no bounds. It's something that grows and grows and grows. You work it, you develop it. But if you let it sit, it doesn't go very far. Last year, I planted two trees in the backyard. Three trees in the backyard. One of them is growing. The other two withered and died. Why? I didn't take care of them. I didn't water them enough. I didn't look after them. If you don't, they're going to die. If you don't love the people in your life, the relationship is going to die. It's going to suffer. And you are going to suffer. If you don't develop that relationship with your heavenly Father, then you're going to die. And the relationship is going to die. Don't let it happen. You see, love is work. Love is an act. Love is something that you choose to do, and you go on choosing, and you go on choosing. You never let up. You never let go. develop that kind of relationship with God. And then he says, secondly, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as you do yourself. That's not such an easy thing to do, but you know, if everything God gave us to do was easy, well, you take it from there. It's not easy. It's tough. Life is tough. Life sometimes can be hard. Relationships can be tough. But you never let go. You never let go. Janet and I have been married now for 57 years. And we're going on. Well, we just did 57, didn't we? Well, we work it. We work it every day. We work it all the time. The world we live in tells us to look out for number one, because nobody else is going to look out for you. You put yourself first, they say. The Bible tells us that God's first, then others. Yourself, you come in on the bottom. And if you try to turn that around, you're going to suffer. We see that we live in a very broken world, broken relationships. People don't stay together very long. Oh, I love you so much. Let's get married. Okay, let's get married. You get married and you discover you didn't even know what love was. Come on, work it. Work it. Love is a commitment to the one that you give yourself to. Many believers are afraid to be seen as pursuing righteousness for fear of being a hypocrite. To achieve success, you must lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us and press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. In Matthew 6:25, verse 34, in the paraphrase, it says, don't overly concern yourself with the daily cares of life, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Get your priorities right. Work your priority. Paul said to Titus, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we shall live soberly and righteously and godly in this present age, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous of good works. Titus 1. Have you tasted and partaken of God's great gift, the gift of life? Bible tells us you must be born again. You must have a new birth. I discovered that at age 15 on October 30th of 1960. It finally rang my bell and I realized I needed a new life. Trying to obey the law and trying to live a righteous life without Christ in my life was hopeless. I needed a new life. In Father Adam, you inherited sin and death, Genesis 2. This is why Jesus says you must be born again, because in your sin, you died. You died to God, and he is the giver of life, and he wants to give you life. It's only through the cross, his Christ, his cross, and remember that you're the one that put him there. That's right. You did. I did. We all did. It was because of our sins Christ died for you. He died for me. And he's given us life freely, freely. All you have to do is trust him. Say, Lord, I believe you. I trust you. And I will walk with you God bless you. And I pray that this has been a blessing and an encouragement to you as you go out and love those around you. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor John, for the message. It's always a blessing to see you and to hear the Word of God preached from you. And you've been a blessing to our hearts this morning. Perilous times, indeed, we do live in. And while the dangers around us and all through this land, it's the Lord Jesus Christ within us that makes the difference. This morning, if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, what better time than to have repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ? I'd like to pray for you, and then after that, we're going to have a few announcements and things to share with you from the church. But let's just take a moment and let the Word of God sink deep into our hearts to bring comfort and peace to us as we pray. Let's go to the Lord. Father, again, we thank you for your Word. And while you've told us about these perilous times, Lord, we see it all around us. We see how the world can be in chaos and how that our thoughts can be drifting in and out of what's happening so much around this world and around our own lives. But Lord, it's you who are our strength. Our feet is set upon your solid rock, Jesus Christ. And with that, you bring peace and comfort to our life and our hearts. I pray for these who are watching and listening today to your Word, that if there's any that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, that this would be a day of repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ for them. For we come to you in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. I'd like to invite you that anytime today or this week, if you have any kind of concern, anything that you'd like for Pastor Ken and myself or Josh to be praying with you about, please contact us. And while we can't be right there with you in person, we can speak to you, we can pray with you, and we can help you with all the things that this life might be bringing to you this week. So just a few announcements I'd like to share with you. First of all, be sure and keep in touch with our IBC webpage. On the webpage, we'll make regular updates about any changes to schedules or anything that may be unexpected coming up through the week. So please check in with the webpage, and that'll keep you up to date on everything that's happening. Also, don't forget our worship services. They'll be on Zoom next week, just like they were this week, as well as Facebook Live. So if perhaps you've not been able to get in through Zoom, maybe you're on the Facebook, then you can also check the Facebook, the webpage, and you'll have the Zoom identification number there as well. Immediately after the worship service and when we're finished here, there is the Kids Club story time coming up. So Miss Jennifer will be sharing the story with our children. So be sure and tune in for that. It'll be about a 20-minute Bible lesson, and you'll enjoy that this morning as well. Our Wednesday night prayer meeting, well, that's going to continue on at 7 o'clock this coming Wednesday, just like we have done. And again, it'll be through Zoom. If you need the identification number, you can go to the webpage and you can get that. And then our life groups, be sure and stay connected with one another. Your life group's probably been in touch with you this week, and I hope that they will be this coming week as well. That's a good way for you to stay connected with your brothers and sisters, praying one for another. So life groups, as much as you can meet this week, and try to do so. And then our missionaries, Pastor Ken mentioned earlier about David and Wan Yi Chung, continue to pray for them and their ministry, and that the Lord would use them and protect them and watch over them also. Now, I think that's all of the announcements that I'd like to share with you. But before we turn it back over to Pastor Ken, maybe you're celebrating a birthday or an anniversary, and we'd like to know about that as well. Right down in the chat part of the Zoom feature, you can go through and you can just type in if you've got a birthday or an anniversary coming up this week, and that way the rest of us can know about it. And we'd like to wish you a happy birthday, happy anniversary to you as well. Well, God bless you all. It's been nice seeing you. Pastor Ken, I'll just turn things back over to you, and then you can close us out in prayer with a few parting words as well.